step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Creativity and Play. I'm Steve Gober.
And I'm Mary Ellis Long.
You can find us online and be notified of future shows at Creativity and Play. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Creativity Play, and download archived editions on iTunes. Our guest today on Creativity and Play is Marganita Hughes, a nature art teacher, an award-winning children's book author and illustrator, a naturalist, and founder of Let's Go Outside Revolution. Marganita Hughes, welcome to Creativity and Play.
Hi, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today.
Well, as we've already been talking about, there's so much to talk about. And before we get into all the good things about nature and creativity, maybe we can start off with what most of us probably read in the news regularly about the disconnect we seem to have from nature, whether we're kids or adults, but often it seems to be focused on the kids and our lack of recess and our lack of stepping away from electronic play and games and getting out to reconnect with nature. What's sort of the state of that as you see it right now, and what role do parents and educators also play within the disconnect part of this equation?
Okay. If you'd asked me the same question about 5 years ago, I'd have been deeply, deeply concerned. But today, there's such an awareness now, as you say, we see it in a lot of the media, and we're hearing about this disconnection. So we are addressing it. So now, there's wonderful organizations like the Children in Nature Network, which was started by Richard Lewes, the author of Last Child in the Woods. And so we have these wonderful organizations and groups actively helping to engage children with nature. And we're very, very much aware of the problems. There's boundaries and there's barricades that that need to come down. But it's a long process, but things are changing. Things are beginning to happen. And it, like you say, it's not just the children. About 5 years ago, I was concentrating very much on connecting the children with nature because they were at the forefront. But if we look deeper, we have to address that it's actually the adults have this big disconnection too. And that's really what my new program is all about. It's rediscovering our own deep-rooted connection with nature and finding time to nurture our own personal creativity as well. And that's for parents, educators, organizations, because it's the adults that basically take the children out into nature. So we need to rediscover that deep connection first in order to take our children out there and expose them to the wonders of the natural world.
I am reminded, as you're talking, Marganita, of a time where I was, well, several times actually, when I've been with adults and some adults in my own family, and where we are on a hike and the kids are call out, "Nana, what is that?" And I'll stop and we'll get down on the ground or we'll kneel down really close and we'll talk about a flower or some dole pop out in front of us or the bark on a tree or what, or the soil and the mud and everything, you know? And the adults will just, "Oh no, we got to march on here."
That's
just a really common thing that happens to me, I know, and to in our family.
The children are natural investigators, explorers. They're full of wonder and curiosity. So nature is this amazing, beautiful playground for them. And we tend to kind of forget that as adults. and it's about rediscovering our own child within to get back there and get to their level and see it from a child's eye view and point of view. And so it's rediscovering our deep-rooted connection and finding time to nurture our own personal creativity. Nature nurtures that creativity within us, and we're, as adults, we're in a society where it's just so fast, but parents take their iPhones along on a nature trip and journey as well. So there's this constant distraction as well. And children are seeing this. You know, we're the role model. So it's about getting back to the simpler things in life, leaving the cell phones behind, spending quiet times in nature with our children, just to appreciate the beauty and the wonder of it all. I go back to simple things like if you just even spend 10, 15 minutes watching the sunrise, getting up early to watch the sunrise with your children or watch the sunset. These are beautiful, magical moments that really stay with a child. It's a beautiful bonding between you. You don't even have to speak. It's just that being connected, that oneness, being there fully in the moment, being fully present. And nature, that beauty allows us to feel that oneness when we allow to stop everything, just slow things down and put the cell phones away, just to be fully in the moment. It's beautiful.
What about urban families, Margaret?
Yeah, I get that all the time. I lived in Edinburgh. I'm from Scotland originally. I've been in BC for 10 years now. And I lived in Edinburgh in the city for 10 years. And there's an abundance of nature in cities. There really is, if you want to find it. But it sometimes maybe takes that little bit more effort to go out there and find it. But it's definitely there. Going on a bug hunt in the city, you're going to find a spider everywhere. So the possibilities are huge, finding spiders, bugs, lifting up rocks, and there's always a tree. And you can sit quietly under a tree in the city and observe the birds, the insects, what's visiting the tree. Take a piece of paper and a crayon, basic things that don't cost any money, very, very little money, and place your paper on the tree and do a bark rubbing, take a leaf, ask the tree. We always, when we're taking something from nature, we ask. It's about showing respect, honoring the tree, and taking a leaf and doing a leaf rubbing. So there's many simple things that you can do with the children in the city and to help connect them with, reconnect them with nature. We talk about a disconnection, but there isn't. We are nature. It's part of who we are. If we go back to cave dwellers, they were expressing themselves creatively. So we're part of nature. We're highly creative spiritual beings. And if we look back at the cave dwellers, they were expressing themselves through their art on their caves. They were dancing and singing around the open fires. They were creating music with their drumming. So it's in our DNA to meet and have this connection with nature because we are nature. It also, there's this need to be creative because it's inbuilt. It's part of our DNA to have that connection with nature, to be nature, to feel it, to have that oneness and to be creative. So yes, we can do that in an urban setting. Also, excuse me, if we're stuck in a flat like I was in Edinburgh, we were three flights up with two young children, we brought nature into the house. We had plants. Every child should have at least one sunflower. A sunflower will attract birds and bees and other insects, so they get to witness, they can observe the insects and animals that come to visit their sunflower. They get to learn where our food comes from if they're planting tomatoes or other vegetables and herbs, and they get to see that biological cycle, so they can learn about the cycle of the butterfly, how it begins with a caterpillar and then becomes a butterfly. And we can create these and do art activities based on what they're observing.
We've been talking a lot about how nature helps spark our creativity, inspire our creativity, help us tap into expressing ourselves. But I often also think about, and we've talked with some guests on previous shows about sort of the other direction as well of, you know, how our ability to imagine and create can also help us reconnect with nature and reimagine, you know, sort of the state of the sustainability in our world right now.
Absolutely.
How does that intersect, you know, going both directions, of how nature inspires creativity, but also how our creative ability helps us rethink our connection to nature?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, when we're going out and going on a bug hunt, for instance, with the children, and we find maybe we chase the butterflies, and we find maybe a snail, and we pick up the snail and we put it in a jar to observe the snail. So we're looking at the snail and observing it. We're also realizing and teaching these children that the snail belongs to, it has its own mummy and daddy or its brother and sister, so we need to put it back safely into its environment. So they're learning about love and compassion, and that all living things should be respected. And so we put it back to where it's happy environment, and then we create and make something. They're using other pieces of materials found in nature to create their beautiful snail that they found, and then they go and play with this snail, and they talk to their parents about the snail and how important it is to put it back. And so they're understanding their deep connection with nature, that all living things are important. So we're learning about love and respect, of honoring the whole of the planet, which ultimately, we fall in love with these creatures. We fall in love with the environment that they are living in, and that when we grow up as adults, we want to protect the snail's habitat. We want to protect the turtles that we've created from clay and walnut shells that we found in nature. We want to be able to not destroy their environment, so we become more sustainable by not buying, making purchases that may be contributing to the destruction of this environment that the turtles are living in. So it's very much a huge step in what we need to do as adults is allow children to fall in love with nature. Only then can we protect what we love. And so we're allowing the children to understand that this is a beautiful and amazing planet that we live on, and they will want to protect it. And so we become more sustainable through our actions, our choices that we make as adults.
Marganita, on our show, as you know, it's called Creativity in Play, and we are really interested in how our guests came to their own playful living and creativity. And so I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your upbringing with your parents and your Scottish landscape that you roamed on.
Yeah.
And then how that led you to some of your work, but specifically about your illustrations and your beautiful, beautiful children's books.
Okay. I was incredibly fortunate to have the most amazing parents, and both art teachers. So my creativity was nurtured at a very, very early age. They both loved the outdoors. My father started up an outdoor education system in the high school that he was the head of art department, but he also did outdoor education. He was one of the first to start that up in the 70s back in Scotland. So I was immersed in nature at a very, very young age as well. So I had this nature, I had this art, I was loved deeply, and love is the core of everything. It's the beginning of everything. So if we have this love, if we have this nature, and if we have a way to express ourselves creatively, then it's a beautiful, beautiful mix. So I was incredibly fortunate and lucky to have that. And that has been my foundation to go forward in my own creativity as an adult, which was very much influenced by my environment. When we moved out of Edinburgh, with our two young children. We moved up into the Highlands in Perthshire, and we lived with Highland cows and sheep grazed right next to us. And it was watching these Highland cows and the wee calves jumping and leaping just as my own children were doing in our own back garden, and the sheep leaping and chasing, and they're just playful, very, very playful, ignited my imagination. And I created my first book character, Toffee the Highland Cow, who was very much influenced in my surroundings and watching the playfulness of the animals in the nature. So that was very much a Scottish influence. Then we moved to British Columbia, and it was very much the native culture and the First Nations philosophy of their deep connection with nature, their love and respect for all of life, that had a huge influence on my latest book character, Orange Moon. And I'd just like to read a tiny little short passage. She's about to head into the meadow. The meadow was especially wondrous this time of year. The colour of the wildflowers made her heart sing. She had always loved the vibrant hue so effortlessly displayed in her outdoor playground. Her father said this was because she was born in the night of an orange moon, quite a rare event. This was also why she was blessed with Orange Moon as her native birth name. Sunbeams kissed her face as she danced her way through the wildflowers, leaving pathways of swaying rainbows that seemed to flow from her long brown hair. Eloise thanked the flowers as she continued to dance through the meadow for their beautiful colours, for their lovely fragrances, and for filling her heart with so much happiness. After some time, she settled down amongst the coneflowers and gazed in wonderment at their beauty. She closed her eyes and breathed deeply, taking in all the magical perfume scents. A smile slowly emerging, she opened her eyes and watched as the dragonflies darted above and around her, and countless butterflies danced like ballerinas from the enchanted flower to the next. Eloise hummed a soft tune and swayed gently, seemingly in time with the native grasses, as if she were one with the wind. Her smile grew and her eyes glinted as a beautiful monarch brushed her cheek. She accepted the silent invitation and gave chase. Now, I think all children should be allowed to chase butterflies and dance amongst the flowers. I just think, sadly, that's my drive. You know, you hear about these children with ADHD, other stress-related illnesses, and they're stuck in this. It's like a prison for them, and they need to be free. They need to be playing in green spaces, smelling the flowers, chasing the butterflies. All children deserve that right.
And again, you were reading from your book, Orange Moon.
Yes, Wonder of the Summer's Day. Yes.
Well, you were just alluding to the passion that drives you in doing all of this kind of work, and I presume that that's what led you to founding what we mentioned in the introduction, the Let's Go Outside Revolution website network of people. Tell us about what that project is doing and who is involved in it.
The Let's Go Outside Revolution was about changing the way children spend their time. It was very much a push on unplugging children. At the time, I had my children were teenagers. My youngest now is 17, but the older two were sort of 15 and 18. And I was realizing, you know, they were spending a lot more time on computers and gaming, and that concerned me deeply as a parent, but also as a teacher and an environmentalist. And they have a balance. So I was thinking, you know, they're the lucky ones. They have a balance. And there's children out there that don't have their parents taking them out all the time, going camping and spending time outdoors, just playing with them. And so it was very much about raising the awareness of the importance that children do need that connection with nature. It's vital for their health and well-being. Childhood is a time of wonder, and our spirits, you know, as a child, technology kind of zaps that whole energy, that whole beautiful wonder and excitement that's outside, and they're not getting to go out there and have that healthy balance of body, mind and spirit, that harmony and that happiness that nature actually gives us and offers us of us. So that's really what it was about. It's about allowing people to take it and make it their own revolution. We have wonderful people in California who started up nature clubs, and they go out and they meet just once a month with other parents, bringing their children who are of the same age and playing out in nature. There's no real structure to it. I think children have such structured lives now. This was very much about it being unstructured. It's about child-led freedom to be in nature, to make their choices, their decisions. So that's really what that's about, and still is, and it's ongoing.
I have to say that website, the Let's Go Outside Revolution, and your website, which is linked off our show site, just have lots of great quotes from other people as well as yourself about all of what we're talking about today. And for people looking for inspiration, I recommend going to both of Margarita's sites and reading, just to tickle our imagination a little bit about these topics we're talking about today. And one of them that I think, too, that you touched on several times is on the Let's Go Outside Revolution site of you are what you do, not what you say. And I think coming back to us as parents and adults, so
yes,
we very much think this is an important topic, but as we all three of us have talked about today, we don't actually model it and do it ourselves.
And we are the role models. We are. Our children look up to us. So by being this positive role model of spending time in nature ourselves and understanding our own creativity as well, and incorporating that in our own life, children will feed on that, and they'll be inspired. It's very much about taking control and making choices. You know, I'm as guilty as anybody about using our computers so much. And you know, and I was very conscious of that, of my own children watching me on my computer. And so I looking up, you know, having conversations. I've seen people have conversations with their computers on, not looking up and talking to their child, or on the phone and having their phones on and still having that conversation. Well, you're not really having that conversation at all. And children pick up on that. They know when you're not really there, and that's disrespectful. And so it's changing our own lifestyles as well, and that was very much about the Let's Go Outside Revolution. It's about taking control as adults, and that's very much about my push on the educating the heart through nature art. It's very much about bringing the teachers, the educators, the parents, back to rediscovering their own deep-rooted connection with nature. And it's not difficult. We just have to make time, and it doesn't cost anything, and financially it just costs our time. So it's making that time. It's so important.
You teach interactive workshops for educators, Margarita. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Yeah, they're fun. You know, you have a classroom of, say, 30 teachers, and they go, oh, well, I'm not an artist, I'm not creative, I can't do any of this, because I have samples of things that I've created. And, you know, that's just absolute nonsense. We're all artists. We're all born artists, as the famous Picasso said, and it's trying to retain that as an adult, which is very true, because at some point we kind of tell ourselves, so that's not good enough. You know, for children, it's very much about the process, and when we're being creative, when we're using our imagination. So we have to remember that as an adult as well. Just one of the exercises I do right at the beginning is to get them to draw. We'll look out the window and we'll see a tree, and I'll say, "Well, everyone, can you draw me this tree?" And then I ask them to hold up their trees and their piece of paper, and we all look around, and each tree is unique. It's beautifully drawn, and some will say, oh, but that's not as good as hers, that's not as good as his, and I'll go, no, they're all absolutely beautiful, they're all unique, They're your creation. And that's what children see. That's how children feel. And it's allowing them to understand that they actually are creative. We do things like I'll teach them how to make paintbrushes from nature. And we use a stick. All that's needed is a branch and some twine and some foliage. And we attach the foliage to the stick using our twine. There we go. We have a paintbrush. We make earth paint from earth. And the last time we made it, we were in an orchard using the cherries as a bit of color. We were squishing down the cherry orchard, adding a bit of color, a bit of scent with lavender. So here we have from nature paint that we can use and paintbrushes. And these teachers are just having an absolute ball, being creative, being messy, and their faces light up. They're just transformed by the end of the session. It's absolutely beautiful to watch. It really is. They become that child again. They become that. Their imagination begins to ignite, and they get messy and they get dirty, and they really, really enjoy themselves. And they go away with these ideas of being creative, of connecting with nature and rediscovering that within themselves. And they're passionate about it. And that is taken to their classroom, which is just a beautiful rippling effect. And that's really why I was concentrating more on the adults and the educators, because I knew that although I was having an absolute wonderful time teaching the children in my outdoor classes, I was only reaching maybe 20, 30 in per class. With a teacher, through these education workshops, you have 30 teachers, and they're all going away enthusiastic and wanting to share their love and passion for nature and creativity now with their children. That's a much bigger audience, and that means more children getting to be creative and it's in nature with nature, and that's beautiful.
Thank you. It sounds like magic to me.
Well, it is. And, you know, you mix these. We were talking about that earlier. And when children and nature mix, something magical happens. Well, when adults and nature mix, something magical happens too. You know, nature nurtures creativity. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. And, they're getting that physical activity, which is really good for their physical side of their health and well-being too. So it is magical, truly.
In the last minute or two here, you also do an online course to help people tap into all of what we've been talking about. Can you just say a little bit about that and if you've got one starting soon?
Yes, it starts up every month. It's a year long, so it's for 12 months of the year. And it's really, really exciting. We have them all over. We have sign-ups from all over the world. So we have Australia, New Zealand, Spain, Poland, and we're discussing ideas as we go along with each other, which is magical because the environments are different, the weather is different. So it's really lovely to mix our ideas together and bring this to all the children around the world. It's quite magical.
Steve?
Oh. Is that us?
Oh, did we lose each other?
Nope, here we are.
Okay. Well, see, and the online one is for anybody. You don't have to be an educator. It can be a parent. It can be an organization. So we'd love to have you join us on this magical journey.
Well, thanks for sharing about that. And it's great to know that there's so many multiple ways to connect with each other and even learn about nature by using technology in this case, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Creativity and Play, Margarita.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Steve and Mary Alice. And thank you for all that you do. It's brilliant. Fabulous.
Well, you're welcome and thank you. Our guest has been Margarita Hughes, who's a teacher, author, illustrator, and founder of the Let's Go Outside Revolution. Our theme music is Kindergarten, composed and performed by Jonathan Batiste. And you can listen to this show and previous shows again to find more information about our guests and sign up to be notified about coming shows at creativityandplay.com. And find Creativity and Play on Twitter, Facebook, and iTunes as well. Creativity and Play is a production of the International Center for Creativity and Imagination in partnership with the National Creativity Network. I'm Steve Delberg.
And I'm Mary Alice Long. I invite you all to post your own drawing of a tree, of your tree, on our Creativity and Play page on Facebook. Thank you so much.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.